Hey everyone, happy Easter. We are so glad that you've been able to join us online today. Just wanted to let you know that our team are working really hard on reproducing the whole Easter service that we've just done two of, so that you can watch the whole thing. But it means that it's not quite ready now. So what you're going to get now is actually Pete's talk from our Good Friday service. We hope you have a great Easter, and keep your eye on our website, on our socials, for when that full Easter service will be uploaded. God bless. See you soon.
See, a few years ago, I used to work for a Church of England church in Ipswich. And it was one of those churches that, whilst we loved it, was probably a church that would fit into some of the not-so-flattering stereotypes that many of us may have grown up with around church. It certainly had that kind of old, cold, and traditional feel to it. Anyways, the pastor of that church, my boss at the time, was someone that I really loved and respected. He still is. But as much as I appreciated him, me and him were very much opposite sides of the equation personality-wise. We were different in pretty much every way. And it wasn't a big deal. We actually had a really great working relationship, and I think we really enjoyed working together. I don't know if you've ever had a boss like that, or maybe you have a boss like that right now, where you just come at every equation from a slightly different perspective. And it's not that you dislike them, it's just that when you sit down to talk about the best way forward, you're on very different wavelengths, very different pages. Well, this was our situation. And for the most part, things were good. And we, like I say, we had a really good working relationship. But stylistically, we were very, very different. And one of the big differences with our approaches was to public speaking. Now, of course, there's not a right or a wrong way to do that. It's just different personalities. But for me, if you've heard me speak before or even just now, you will have probably gotten the notion that I am quite gentle and softly spoken. Well, my boss was the total opposite. He had this huge, booming Northern Irish accent that seemed to just fill any remaining space in the air whenever he spoke. And I'll always remember this one talk he gave fairly soon after I started working there. And it was this series where kind of the tagline for it was this phrase, "It's not about you." And he would come with this big booming Irish voice, and I'm not going to try and do the accent because it always comes out Scottish when I do it. As does every accent I try and do, by the way. But he would stand at the front and he would say, "It's not about you. It's not about you." I can't even do it pretending. It's still a whisper, isn't it? And ironically, I don't think I can actually remember what that series was about. It was a few years back. But I do remember very firmly that whatever it wasn't about me, which was good to know. But anyway, generally in life, I think that's probably quite good advice sometimes, to come at certain situations remembering that it's not about us. But I've been thinking about that talk a lot this week, because tonight I want to start in totally the opposite way. And instead of shouting, "It's not about you," I want to come tonight very gently and softly to every single one of you and say that when it comes to Easter, it is about you. And when we ask all of the key questions that we should be asking about Easter, namely, why the cross and why did Jesus lay down his life? The answer is, well, it's you. It's you. It's all about you. And I think to help us dive a little bit more deeply into this, we need to ask a second question, which is, what is the cross really? What is the cross really? Because to really understand the Good Friday story, we can't just look at the cross and see a brutal way to die. We have to look for more than that. And so tonight, I want to invite you instead to not just look at the cross, but instead to look through the cross and see what God is doing as Jesus gives his life upon it. See, when it comes to the cross of Jesus, I tend to think about it this way. The cross is God's work of repurposing the darkness. The cross is God's work of repurposing the darkness. It is God taking the gruesome, hateful, disgusting, cruel disdain and torment the injustice of the cross, taking this thing that was designed for evil, and it is God taking the darkness and defeat of death itself and turning it into something else, turning it into a way back to God. See, Jesus' death and resurrection, sorry if you haven't finished the end of the story and I've just ruined Sunday for you, but see, Jesus' death and resurrection is not some dicey, ill-advised trip to Jerusalem that got out of hand quickly. It's not plan B because plan A didn't work out. It is nowhere near a concession. The cross is God's plan A to create for a lost and wayward humanity a way back into right relationship with himself. And it isn't based on religion or what you need to accomplish or what you need to achieve or bring to the table. Instead, it's all about that faith in Jesus and what he's done on that cross. It's not about needing to accomplish something. It's about something Jesus has already accomplished. And through the cross, Jesus creates that route back to God for all who are distant, disconnected, disillusioned, and doubtful. He creates a way back, a way to forgiveness for the worst parts of ourselves, to be set free from the shame and guilt of our worst days, and to receive the light, life, and reconnection that a relationship with the God who created us can bring. The Bible sums it up pretty well when it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he himself, he being Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And when it comes to the Easter story, we've certainly got plenty of options in terms of different Bible passages we could look at to go a bit deeper. But as I've been thinking about it a little bit this week, one of the stories that has kept coming up for me is a story from the book of Luke in chapter 9. It's not typically associated with Easter in and of itself, but it has kept coming back to me this week. In fact, in the overarching story, there's actually a huge amount of time between the events of Luke chapter 9 and the events of Good Friday. For context, Luke chapter 9 is a fairly normal chapter, as the gospel goes. It involves a lot of Jesus and his followers going around healing and teaching and feeding people. But the thing that caught my eye about it was that twice within this chapter, Jesus predicts his own death and speaks very specifically about it, saying of himself, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Sometime later, he goes on to utter a similar sentence. He says, listen carefully to what I'm about to tell you. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. And whilst it's certainly pretty amazing to witness someone predict their own death and resurrection and describe it precisely as the events turn out to unfold, that isn't the thing I find most striking. Instead, what hit me was the line that you find a few verses later when the Bible says this, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. What does resolutely mean? It means purposefully, unwaveringly, with determination. So what does all that mean when you put it together? Well, in plain English, it means that twice in this chapter, Jesus predicts the betrayal, brutality, and scorn of the cross that would result in his death. And his response to this promise of pain is to continue his trajectory with an unwavering determination. You see, the cross is God's plan of forgiveness, salvation, restoration and redemption for all people, everywhere throughout the ages. And because Jesus knew that, there was nothing and no one that was going to get in his way and prevent him from making it to Jerusalem. And as I've been thinking about this week, the phrase that keeps coming to my mind to summarize this idea is this. The cross held 100 different types of pain for the Son of Man, but zero surprises. The cross held 100 different types of pain for the Son of Man, but zero surprises. In other words, Jesus knew exactly what was coming, and still he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew exactly what was coming, and he still purposefully, unwaveringly, and with determination, set out for the cross, no turning back. What was the reason? Well, it's you. I think sometimes when faith feels hard going, it can be because maybe we fail to understand or we're tempted to forget how significant we are in the eyes of God. And that's why Easter is so important to return to again and again. Because through the Easter story, we see, we get this kind of front row seat, if you like, to reflect upon the depth of his love and how significant we are in his eyes, that he would endure all of this. And inevitably, we'll never understand all the fullness of everything that God does for us day by day, all the ways in which he protects and cares and provides that went unseen. That said, whoever you are and whatever your life is like, there is one earth-shaking, flesh-tearing, soul-trembling expression of his love that you cannot miss, because every single Easter it is staring you right in the face. And that's the cross, the place that Jesus resolutely sets out for, thinking of us in the process. And so when you're tempted to feel like maybe God doesn't see you as all that important or all that significant, I want to invite you to look once more upon the Easter story and to be blown away by the depth of his love for you, remembering that this is about you. Why did Jesus die? Why the cross? Why would he resolutely set out for Jerusalem, knowing full well that nothing but pain awaited? What was the reason for Easter? You are. It is about you and his unfailing, unstoppable love for you. I heard a great quote the other day that I loved. I thought it was so helpful. It said, the waters of the Bible are shallow enough that a child could paddle in, but also deep enough that an elephant could swim in. In other words, the Christian story is both easy enough to understand for someone who is new to be able to grasp something of the heart of the issue. Yet it is also complex enough that someone can study it their entire lives and still be learning new truths up to the day they die. And I want to encourage you that if you are someone who is exploring this stuff for themselves, and maybe you're not quite sure where you stand with it all at the moment. And by the way, if that's you, we love that you're here, and we really want you to know that you are so, so welcome to continue that journey of exploring faith here at The Forge. But if that's you tonight, just dipping your toe into the shallow end to try and understand something of what this all means, then I really want you to hear that the cross is the right place to start. Because within it, we see both the simple truth of the gospel that God himself loves you literally to death and back. But also you get a glance of something much more deep and profound. That through this faith in Jesus and what he has accomplished on that cross, that when you enter into that right relationship with God, it becomes true for you that whilst God has seen the worst of you, he will never again see the worst in you. Whilst God has seen the worst of you, he's seen the worst of me, he will never again see the worst in us. That because of Jesus, there is forgiveness, freedom, a clean state, and a new beginning for those who want it. That this isn't the end of the story, it is the beginning of something new. See, the center point of the Christian faith is the cross of Jesus Christ. It is the place where mercy and justice meet, where second chances are found. One of the things I've said many times before, I hope I'll say it many times again, is that when we properly grasp who Jesus is and why he died for us, we will no longer look at Good Friday and see humiliation. Instead, we will see humility. And it allows us not to just look at the cross and see a victim, but instead to see through the cross and see a victory. God's victory over sin and death for you and for me. And I think this understanding enables this time to be a time of gratitude and thanksgiving rather than a somber reflection on what may have been. So we're going to take part in communion in a moment or two. And I want to encourage you to come to this moment full of gratitude, knowing that Easter is really, really good news. And the reason, well, it's you.